Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
All right, today we are continuing this sermon series that we've entitled Summer School. Lessons from Acts is what we've been doing. We've been taking a lesson in Acts, and we've been studying what it means for us today. It's kind of hard because it's not a gospel where Jesus is actually teaching people. There's really no teaching at all. This is just a summary or a narrative of what happened to the apostles. And then we're trusting the Holy Spirit to teach us from that. So it makes it hard to pick handfuls of verses and not know the whole. It's kind of like we're reading chapter 6 in a book from the library, but we don't know what happened in chapter 4. I'm going to try to piece some of that together for you today. The first week we looked at being better together. After Pentecost, the believers stayed there together and they took care of each other. We saw lesson 2 that the apostles knew the worth of Jesus. A man was begging and they had no money to give him, but they said, "What we do have is more valuable. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up." And the man stands up and is healed. And then last week we looked at how Peter and the apostles were put into prison, but they remained bold and they remained confident that when they were set free from prison in the middle of the night, they actually go right back to doing what got them in prison in the first place. So we're going to skip ahead quite a bit. So I want to let you know just some of the highlights that happened from the end of where we left off last week to where we're going to pick up this week. They start realizing that the church has now grown so big that these apostles can't do all the work by themselves, so they delegate this to other people. And they begin sending out these other people to help care for people, to help preach. One of them that is a famous name is Stephen. Stephen then becomes kind of the first official martyr. I would argue Jesus was the first martyr of Christianity. But most people say Stephen was the first one killed for his faith. The person who gave the okay to kill Stephen's name was Saul, a Pharisee of all Pharisees. And we're going to come back to him in just a little bit. But people are being healed. People are starting to continue to get upset. And the gospel is spreading throughout Jerusalem. Then, as Saul continues to go persecuting the church, he falls blind on a road and has himself his own personal encounter with Jesus, and then becomes the Apostle Paul, which we know wrote the majority of the books or letters in the New Testament. The message leaves Jerusalem. It begins going out to the countryside and reaching those people that Jesus promised them they would have to do. He went out to the Judean countryside. He goes out into Samaria, and they're sharing this gospel message of Christ. They run into this lady, Lydia, and they find out that she is a godly woman. Isn't that so refreshing, women, to hear a woman being affirmed in the New Testament? That's where y'all were supposed to say amen, because you don't always get to hear that. But they decided it was important enough for us to know that this was Lydia's home. And it was her household. And so she becomes a follower of the new way. Her and her household are baptized. And she begins housing the apostles. Then Paul is out one day, and this lady with unclean spirits, she can kind of fortune tell and all this other stuff. And she's nagging Paul, like getting on his nerves. "So in the name of Jesus, get out and shut your mouth." And she did. And that made her owners really mad, because they were making lots of money off of this lady's ability to tell fortunes. And that is where we see Paul and Silas beaten publicly, thrown into prison. And that's where we're going to pick up today. So we're going to pick up in Acts chapter 16, and I'm going to read verses 22 through 34. If you're in one of the black Emmanuel Bibles and you want to follow along, that's on page 901. If you're on the app, it's there for you. Acts chapter 16, starting at verse 22. The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothes and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them secure. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was an earthquake so violent that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up, he saw the prison doors wide open, and he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he was supposed to keep the prisoners locked and they had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for the lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them outside of the jail and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At that same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. This is the word of God for you, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of every heart here be pleasing and acceptable to you. Our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So this past week, we celebrated our country's freedom. And it doesn't take long to pay attention to the news or to pay attention to what your neighbors are doing or to look on social media to figure out that we are pretty good at celebrating freedom. We know how to have a good time. And a lot of times a national holiday is just the excuse we need to bust out a ridiculous amount of fireworks, some good barbecue, and coolers with Cherry Coke and libation, as the bishop would say. But freedom often slides right past our mind after that. And I've often wondered how we can be so good at celebrating our freedom as a country and then turn right around and have little to no understanding or even desire to use that same energy and excitement about our freedom in Christ. I was really disappointed today that when it got here, there were no barbecue pits set up. There were no fireworks being shot off, at least not yet. You might have a display in the parking lot waiting on the amen. But the odds are we will not celebrate with the same excitement today that we did multiple days this past week. So our lesson today, for those of you tracking with us through this sermon series, lesson four that we can learn from the church in Acts is they understood their true freedom. They understood their true freedom. And you see, when you understand your true freedom in Christ, it allows you to handle terrible situations in a much calmer way. Here they are beaten. They were stripped of their clothes. They've been humiliated. They've been thrown into prison. And it says about midnight, that's probably bedtime in the prison. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And here's the cool part of that verse. And the prisoners were listening to them. Because they were in prison, but they knew that those chains didn't limit their freedom. It actually gave them an opportunity to use their freedom in their current circumstances. And that freedom then spilled over to other people. But we sang these words, "What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms." Do you think that's how Paul and Silas probably felt in that prison? They probably felt really far and distant and removed from God, but they knew because they were free now in Christ that He was there and He was near and there was nothing to dread. Suddenly it says, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundation of the prison was shaken and all the doors opened up and everyone's chains fell off. You might not get anything else out of this today, but this one little piece might be for you. This one tiny little piece. That as you go through your life feeling like you are locked in a prison and you can't figure out what your next step is, it might be that you sit down in your chains and you lift up prayers and praises to God. And then those chains might just come falling off. We want the solution right then and there. How do I get myself free from this terrible situation? Don't worry about what the end is. Worry about what the next step is, and that's to lift prayers and to give praise to God. The second thing that we can learn from this story in our summer school series is that these apostles also knew their freedom was not for them. Their freedom was not for them. It says, when the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, this guy knows he's in trouble. He's heard about these angels coming and stealing these guys out of prison, and he was told, don't let it happen. Odds are he probably shouldn't have been sleeping. But he wakes up, the prison doors are open, and he is ready to take his sword and kill himself. Now, I want you to be Paul and Silas for a moment. These people have stripped you and beat you and thrown you in prison. And an earthquake, a divinely appointed earthquake, knocks the shackles off and opens the door. And the jailer's over here napping. What are you going to do? Okay. Those of you telling the truth in church, I'm running for it. Those of you that thought, I'm going to stay and proclaim the word of the Lord, you are lying. If that's your kind of faith, you need to be up here next week sharing your testimony with us. Man, I'm running for it. Peter got to leave when the angel came. Paul knows that. They don't even go anywhere. They weren't told to go anywhere. So they sit knowing that God must be up to something. He tells them, no, don't hurt yourself, but we're all here. And the jailer instantly knows there's something different about these guys. And he says, what must I do then to be saved? You see, because they didn't take advantage of their earthly freedom, but they relied on their freedom in Christ, this jailer's whole home is going to hear the gospel, believe the gospel, and be baptized in the darkness of this night. God was performing something far greater than setting these two men free from prison. Their freedom was for that man, for his family, and for all the other prisoners who were listening. says they spoke the word of the Lord to him, to all who were in his house. And at the same hour of the night, he took them, he washed their wounds. So now he's caring for these people that he just watched get beat. And it says, then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them. And he is in his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. Do you see how these men's freedom in Christ, they were so secure in who they were in Christ, their true freedom actually changes this man and his family's life forever. There's often a phrase that you might want to remember. And it says this, free people should set other people free. You can take it a step further and say, saved people ought to help save other people. Disciples of Christ who have freedom in Christ should be living and sharing their faith in such a way that they too are setting other people free and making disciples for the transformation of the world. Is that not what happened to this jailer? I mean, he's probably a disciple of Jesus now. And his world has been transformed. Speaking to a large audience, there was author and evangelist and everything else. His name was D.L. Moody. And he held up a glass cup jar. And he asked this group of people, how do I get the air out of this jar? Because there's air inside of this, right? Because there's air inside of everything. And this has an opening. It's not closed. So there's air in there. One guy said, get a real strong vacuum cleaner. Create the suction and pull the air out. And he said, well, that would get the air out. But it would probably create such a strong suction that it would shatter the glass. And then he grabbed another cup. And he said the only real way to get air out of this cup is to fill it with water. And now I know some of you are saying, well, water has oxygen in it. It does. It does. But because of the chemical components, this is water, not air. And he said the only way to get the opposite of freedom is enslavement. And when we use that term in the church, we talk about it with dealing with sin. He said the only way to become truly free in Christ from your sin is to be so filled with the Holy Spirit that it just pushes it out. And he goes on to make the point that too many times we try to improve our lives one step at a time. I'll just fix this one problem at a time. I'll just stop doing this one behavior one problem at a time. And does that ever really work? So church, the answer is if we want to experience our true freedom in Christ, we must continue to become so full of the Holy Spirit that it just pushes everything else out of us. That's our prayer as we approach this table today. That we will embrace our true freedom as disciples of Jesus Christ. We even pray these words. There is a list of ways that we misuse our freedom in our liturgy, but then we use these words. And when I hear them in my head, I hear them prayed from a deep place of desperation. It says, free us, God, for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Free us from all the things that are keeping that from happening. Later on, we will acknowledge that God has delivered us from the slavery to sin and death, that we are now free of that. And then we say, when we talk about the elements, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ because that's where our freedom comes from. But then it carries it a step further to how we then use that freedom. It says that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. There's a song called Resurrecting Power by Chris Tomlin, and it has these words. It says, "Now I have resurrection power living on the inside. Jesus, you have given us freedom, no longer bound by sin and darkness. Living in the light of your goodness, you have given us freedom that I am dressed in your royalty. Your Holy Spirit lives in me, and I see my past has been redeemed. The new has come." I think that's what these apostles were experiencing. They were so full of the Holy Spirit that came after Christ's ascension that they just lived into that freedom. And today you may find yourself in several different places. You may say, "Well, I don't know that I've ever truly experienced that freedom. I've heard about Jesus my whole life, but I have never truly felt free." Then you have a choice to make today. And that choice is to go on about your life and see if it just gets better on your own, or to have a conversation about what it means for Christ to set you free. Maybe you've lived into your freedom in Christ and it's just become kind of dull. It's lost its flavor. It's time to change the wick and the candle. You can go out this door today and do nothing and just see if it will improve. Or you can have a conversation with someone and pray for that freedom to become real again. And then there's another group that's probably, "Well, I'm doing the best I can, but man, I'm just not as bold as those guys." Maybe you just need to be prayed over and say, "Let the Holy Spirit do it." But each and every one of us gathered in this place today has a next step to take in our faith journey. For some of us, that might be stepping from S to T. For some of us, it may be A to B. What's important is not where you are, but that you're not on the same step you were last week. Because we improve our faith journey one single step at a time. Let's pray.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.